Good morning, Hallmark.
Good morning.
God is good.
All
and all the time.
God is good.
Man, that sounds good up here. Give it up for the worship team one more time. It's such a beautiful morning to be able to worship and serve the Lord. He is a good God. He is a loving God. And I'm so humbled and thankful to be up here this morning. If it's your first time here at Hallmark, I am not the pastor. Our pastor is right now in Kenya, Africa. Himself and the Kenya team, they're doing amazing works out there in Kenya, spreading the gospel, spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But my name is Richie Gomez, Pastor John has asked me to be able to preach today, and when he first asked me, I was a little scared. I was like, are you sure you're asking the right person? Like, I don't know if I can go up here and preach in bunch to like 200, 300 people. That's a little scary. But he just reassured me that, hey, look, this isn't a you thing. This isn't a me thing. This is a God thing, right? And I just want to encourage you guys, like, if the Lord is working in your life right now, just answer the call, right? That's all it takes. You don't have to have all the knowledge, all the understanding. You don't need to know the Bible word for word. All you need is the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to lead you and direct you and just allow him to use you. Just a little bit about myself. I surrendered my life to the Lord in 2019. Me and my wife have been married for 5 years. We got married in 2019. Actually, August 2nd will be 5 years. And it was like God was telling me, okay, it's time to put big boy pants on. Like, it's time to be a man. You're about to be married. So I was like, okay, Lord, I answer the call. I surrender my life to you. So for 5 years, I've known the Lord in a very personal and amazing way that God has just worked in my life. If you don't know, I serve in the student ministry. I'm very thankful for our student pastor, Carlos. He's been so kind and loving towards me. He's been able to just share a little bit of the inside, in and outs of student ministry. I just feel like God has called me into student ministry. I love being with them. I get to lead small groups with 12th and 11th grade boys. It's fun. We're about to go to camp next week. I'm really excited. It is really hot, but aside from that, I'm so excited for camp. So thank you, Carlos, for just allowing me to be a part of the student ministry. Also want to say thank you to Pastor John and the staff for this amazing opportunity that I have this morning. I just want to be real with you guys. Like, I am nervous, but I'm more excited than nervous. But I want you guys to know, like, I speak in simple words. I am not a man of great knowledge. I struggle with my language. Like, I can't even speak English right. So just be, you know, just bear with me if I say something wrong or if I mess up a word, please forgive me. You know, this isn't my first time. I get to lead small groups in student ministry. Actually, last year I got the amazing opportunity. Me and my wife went to Kenya, Africa. I got to share my testimony in front of a lot of people. So this isn't my first time on stage, but this is my first time here at my home church on stage preaching to my family. So I am nervous, but I'm also very excited. So just want to say happy Father's Day again to the dads. My dad's here this morning, and I'm just so thankful for my dad. My dad is a hardworking man. Some of my favorite memories is with my dad. We love going fishing. Like, aside from church, aside from me being with my wife, I love fishing. So if you guys love fishing, let's go. Because, but man, I'm just thankful for the man that I have. That's my dad, my earthly father. He just raised me to work hard. He raised me to know Christ. And I think the most valuable lesson that my dad has taught me is no matter what you face in life, you stand up for Jesus, right? You stand up for the truth. You might not know everything, but that's okay, right? We have a good God, and he's worth our attention. He's worth everything. I do want to invite you guys. Come back next week. Pastor John will be back. He's a lot more knowledgeable than me. But I know he would love to meet you next week. And then after the service, if you are new, I'd love to meet you. Me and my wife will be out there in the foyer. I'd love to get to know you, just hang out with you, just to get to know you. So today we are in the summer playlist. We are in week 3 of summer playlist. Pastor Matt joked with me earlier, and he was like, you know, you got Psalms 14, right? I'm like, no, no, it's Psalms 13. I know it's Psalms 13. So today we're going to be in Psalms 13. It's only 6 verses, but there's a lot to it, right? You wouldn't think 6 verses would have a lot of information, but it does. I want to warn you guys, it is very deep. I am a very emotional person. I cry a lot. When I get mad, I cry. But these 6 verses that we're about to dive into is very heavy. We're going to be diving into suffering, diving into heavy emotions. But I want to emphasize how today's message is about the hope and security we have in Jesus Christ, right? It's no secret we all go through some sort of suffering, right? That's not a secret. I don't know what you guys are personally going through, but I want you to know that God can handle it, right? And we see through the words of David how he reflected on God's character, right? He reflected on God's faithfulness in his life, and he trusts in the Lord. He's crying out to the Lord, but we'll see that he cries out, and then in some way and somehow in that season of suffering, David can still trust in the Lord's faithfulness. So a little context on the book of Psalms, if it's your first time being to church and you might not understand what this book is. It's a book in the Old Testament, and Psalms literally means songs of praise, right? If you think about the worship team that was just up here, right? The Psalms is literally an album, like an album, like a Chris Stapleton. Me and my wife went and saw Chris Stapleton last night. The dude is amazing, beautiful vocals. But like, he has an album, right? Okay, that's what Psalms is. Psalms is pretty much songs of praise, songs of lament, right? You'll read about how David and the other authors will just cry out to the Lord. But I think the key point is who they're crying out to, right? We might be going through suffering. We might call out to the Lord, but that's who we're calling out to, right? That's what's important, is that God cares about everything that you go through, every emotion, every joyful time in your life. If you're in a season of joy, if you're in a season of peace, or if you're in a season of suffering or doubt, God cares about all of those emotions you're going through. Because the truth is, God is an emotional being. God, we see in Scripture, God often feels sad. God often feels happy. God gets angry. We read in, let me get to it. We read in John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept, right? Jesus, who is God in the flesh, had feelings. So I want you guys to understand, like, it's okay to have those feelings, all right? It's okay to have those doubts and those insecurities and those moments of despair or moments of just, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. I don't know what you're trying to teach me. I don't know what you want from me. It's okay to have those doubts and those feelings and all those emotions that we deal with, because you are created in the image of God. We as people are created by a loving God who created us to be his image bearers. That means in some way God created you with his qualities. You have emotional feelings, right? And then we look at the life of Jesus. When Jesus walked with his disciples, when he was here on earth, Jesus ate, he drank water, right? He felt pain, physical, spiritual, emotional pain. See, God identifies with your emotions. God identifies with your pain, because God is he's no stranger to suffering, right? Jesus on the cross, that was the ultimate suffering right there, right? So God understands what you're going through. So I want you to be encouraged that you can go to God with those emotions. So the book of Psalms, it's just a, Psalms reflects, I love this quote by Ed Henson. Psalms reflects on the passion of the true worshiper and expresses the full range of human emotions. But today, actually, we're going to be in Psalms 13. And it actually David actually titles it, right? David, like, signs his signature on it. So we know 100% that Psalms 13 was written by David. But Psalms does have multiple authors. Moses wrote some, King Solomon. Most of them were written by David. But when you think of the Psalms, I reflect on music. When me and my wife met, that was one of the things that we really loved about each other, is we had similar tastes in music. And to me, music helps us express those emotions. Like, if you're angry about something, you might turn on a song that kind of makes you feel a little better, or you might turn on a song that makes you feel even more angry, right? If you're feeling joyful and excited, you might play a song that's upbeat and make you want to dance. I know my boy Tyler over there, when he works out, he has a certain playlist to help him work out, right? Just motivates him, makes him feel better. But according to Google, the top five themes for songs, you have love and heartbreak, personal struggles and triumphs, social commentary like injustice, mental health and self-discovery, individual experiences. So you see that the music we have today is no different than the Psalms that were written thousands of years ago, right? People that were born way back then still dealt with the same things that we deal with. But the truth is, it's still the same God then and the same God today, right? So music helps us express our emotions, our life experiences, our reality. When you listen to those lyrics, you can kind of feel the connection, right? Like Chris Stapleton last night when me and my wife went to the concert, he played an acoustic version of one of his songs, and you could hear the brokenness. It was just the guitar and his voice. You could hear the brokenness of his voice. You could feel that he really meant what he was singing about, right? And maybe I haven't experienced what he has experienced, but in some way, we can relate to other artists and what they've gone through. So that's what the church is. We're supposed to come together and be able to express our feelings to each other, right? I want you guys to know that the church is supposed to be a safe place, right? God has created us in his image, but he's also created us to be with each other, okay? So if it's your first time here and you don't have nobody to talk to, you feel alone, come talk to me. Come talk to any staff member, any member here. This church is a family. I started coming to this church when I met my wife, Leslie. My wife, Leslie, grew up here. This church has just shown me so much love. They have opened their arms to me. And this church, God has used this church to change my life. I think about me being up here right now. Like, I never thought I was going to do this. Like, I never could see myself as a pastor or a student pastor, whatever God wants me to do, right? But God has just worked in my life, and now I attend Liberty University online. I'm taking classes, courses, and just studying more about the Bible, and I've noticed that God just wants you to know about him. God is a personal being. See, what people don't understand around the world is God and Christianity and religion, all that stuff, it is a personal, sincere, and genuine relationship. Church is not the Catholics. Church is not the Baptists. Church is not the whatever else, Buddhists, all those other religions. God, who is the only true living God in this universe, who has created you with love and a purpose, is personal, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. That is what God cares about. So much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus left his throne, and he came down and dwelt among people. That is our God. That's our God that cares about us. Amen. So, let's dive into Psalms 13. I want you guys to understand, when reading Psalms, it is important to allow your heart to feel the emotions of the text. It is not enough just to understand the text. We must allow its emotion to capture us. So as we dive into these short six verses, I want you to really think about what's going on in your life right now. Maybe think about something in the past, and these six verses. Maybe you're in this situation right now. So I want you to allow these verses to capture your attention, to capture your heart. So, Psalms 13, how long, O Lord, to the choir master a psalm of David. And I'm going to dive into the character of David and who he is and a little bit of backstory after we read this. Verse 1, it says, how long, O Lord? David is speaking to God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's pretty deep, right? David is in some way, he's expressing some kind of pain, right? We don't know 100% what the context of this psalm is, but most scholars will agree, because when David says, "How long will my enemies be exalted over me?" most scholars will agree that this is the time period of when David was on the run from King Saul. So if you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, let me kind of clarify that for you. So in ancient Israel times, Israel was not satisfied with God being their king, because all the other nations around Israel had a king, an earthly king, right? So Israel wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to look like the other nations. So God, the God he is, was like, okay, I'll let you have it your way and we'll see how it plays out. So God called a man named Samuel, the prophet Samuel. He's one of the very first prophets that we read about. So he calls Samuel, hey, look, you're gonna be my prophet, you're gonna be my guy that's gonna go spread my word, okay? And I want you to pick Saul, his name was Saul, to be king over my people. But look at this verse, how God explains it to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. This isn't on the screen. God says, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey my voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being their king over them. So God told Samuel, hey, look, they're not rejecting the wisdom that you're giving them, right? They're rejecting me as their king. So God tells Samuel, look, there's this guy named Saul. He's tall, he's handsome, everybody likes him. He has the outward qualities of a king, of a leader, of someone to look up to. But notice how it's an outward appearance, right? We can't see what God sees. And that's honestly one of the hardest things about living a Christian life, is Jesus calls us to go and love everybody and spread the gospel, right? But I can't see inside your heart. I don't know how to relate to you. I don't know how to speak to you. I don't know how to give you that love. That's why we need God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So that was the difference, the distinct difference between Saul and David. Pastor Nathan said last week when he preached on Psalms 12, because Psalms 11, 12, 13, they kind of go together, right? I think it's around the same time period. They're all kind of related. Pastor Nathan said that the difference between Saul and David was that Saul never pursued a life of repentance or went to God when he messed up. See, God is not somebody that's rejecting you or telling you that you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, because the truth is we're all sinners. We're all bad. We've all done something wrong. But see, what God cares about is your heart. What God looks at is the heart. So notice how Pastor Nathan said he never pursued a life of repentance. See, you can mess up, you can sin, right? Because you're going to. But the key thing is, are you going to turn away from that sin? Are you going to seek a life of repentance? See, Saul never did that. Saul wanted to be a king on his own authority. He wanted his rules, his way. But David, who would become king, had a heart for the Lord. He cared about the Lord's reputation. He cared about what the Lord wanted. So God established a kingdom in Israel, right? So King Saul was now the king. He was in charge of God's people, the nation of Israel. But Saul messed up. He did something that he was not supposed to do, right? So now God called David to take his spot. So there's the beef, right? There's the fighting right there. Now Saul is after David. So that's why we think that this psalm pertains to that context, right? That situation. But like I said, David had a heart for the Lord. David's faith is the key to his success. And I also want you guys to understand something. That the reason I tell you about David's character, the reason I tell you about how his heart is because you could be living the right way. You could be praying to God every day. You could be coming to church. You could be fasting. You could be serving the church in any way possible. You could be doing all the right things. And then boom, you go through some sort of suffering and it doesn't make sense. Like, why am I going through this? So I want you to know that you can do all the right things and still experience pain. But see, the difference is, are you going to keep your faith in the true living God and his promise that we have in Christ? Or are you going to be like Saul and not seek a life of repentance? So the first two verses, right? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So David is in some sort of suffering, right? And he's crying out to the Lord. He's dealing with God's hiddenness. We've all have experienced that. We've all felt that God is not there. We've all asked God, like, where are you? I need you to answer me. I know I have in my life. But see, God doesn't go by our authority. He has his own authority, his own power. But I want you guys to notice, I've titled this first two verses, Practice Transparency. How can you be real with God? I was joking with my wife. There's an app that the students, the teenagers use these days. It's called Be Real. The difference between this app and the other apps is that you are supposed to be real. You take a picture live, whatever you're doing. You could be in the pool, you could be at the movies, like whatever you're doing, it's a be real. You take the picture right now and everybody can see it, right? So David is doing this with God. David is being real with God, right? Psalms 13 serves as a great example of our freedom to be honest with God. It's what God desires. You shouldn't hide anything from God because he already knows it anyway. He knows your heart. He knows more about you than your mom does or your dad does. He knows you more than anybody. So why not express those feelings and heartaches to him, right? Ignoring our emotions ignores the fact that we have been created in the image of God, and God is an emotional being. In the book Exalting Jesus, you have been created with those feelings. Express them to God. Talk to God. He wants you to talk to him. I know that can be hard, though. My wife, Leslie, she's a licensed therapist, and she does amazing work with teenagers that are struggling with all kinds of abuse, drug abuse, sexual abuse, doesn't matter. But my wife, her job every day is to talk to other people about their feelings. I'm like, Leslie, how do you do that? I can't even express my feelings to you. I don't understand how you can do that. So I want you guys to know the importance of it. If we do it here on earth, if we do it with each other, like my wife does with everybody, why can't we do it with God? Why can't we be honest with God? Now see, I think that's where the church has failed in an area. We don't want to express our feelings because we're scared that someone might judge us in a bad way, right? Or we don't want to express our feelings with each other because we might feel a little weird or we might feel out of place. I mean, I just want to encourage you, so what? God knows what you're going through. Talk about your feelings with God and find somebody in this church that would be willing to do the same. I meet up with some of the other leaders in our student ministry and we talk about our feelings and we talk about the Bible. It's a good thing to be in community. Now we move on to verses 3 and 4. I've titled it, Pray Boldly. A healthy prayer life leads to an honest relationship with the Lord. So I know the world today has a bad rep on prayer. Prayer, all it is a conversation with God. It's not a ritual or anything like that. Prayer is wherever you are, in your truck, at your house, at church, wherever you are. If you just want to talk to God, talk to him. I do that all the time. I'll be fishing on the lake and all by myself. I'm in my kayak fishing all by myself in the middle of the lake, and I'm talking to God while I'm fishing. That's all it is. And let me tell you, God listens and he responds. He might respond in a way that you don't like. He might say yes, he might say no, he might say not yet. But God will respond to your prayers because he cares about what you're praying to him about. You ever think about the life of Jesus? Why are questions in the Bible? Why did Jesus himself, who is God in the flesh, who knows everything, why would he ask questions? He would ask his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Why would he do that? I was studying in school and reading some of my textbooks, and I found to discover that the answer is questions invite sincere and real conversations with God. So if you have a question today, if you are doubting God, that's good. Ask him about it. Go to him and ask those questions. Psalms 13, verses 3 and 4 shows us that we have the freedom to ask God questions. God listens and responds to our prayers. Like I said, our emotions matter to God. He cares. But notice how prayer is the key transition in this passage. David is going from crying out to the Lord, pretty much telling God, "Why have you forsaken me? Why are you hiding my face? I don't know where you are in this situation in my life." So he's calling out God. But then you see the transition when he goes and he just sits. And as the Bible says, be still. It's my wife's favorite passage, is be still. David is being still, and he's praying to the Lord, and that's the key transition. Because in verses 5 and 6, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So, how can David go from lamenting, which all lamenting is an expression of sorrow or pain, how can he go from lamenting to praising the Lord? We can't relate to David, right? We're not being chased by a king, right? We're not being hunted and trying to kill us. But we all go through something. I think it's cool how God doesn't rush it. That process of lament takes time. And that's okay, because God wants to be with you in the whole process. God doesn't just care about the end result. God cares about the whole healing process. So we don't know 100% how long it took David from going from lamenting to worshiping and praising the Lord. But that doesn't take away the fact that God is who he says he is. So, church, I ask you, as Pastor John has encouraged us to reflect on this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is in control? Will you trust him until he proves it? See, David understood this. In that process of lamenting, David finally came to a place where he went from accusing God to asking God to accepting the truth of God. My real good friend, Keith, he's gonna like this. The definition for faith is choosing to live as though God's word is true, regardless of our circumstances, emotions, or cultural trends. I had the wonderful privilege to be able to lead a discipleship group in our student ministry called Starting Point, and that was the foundation of the whole series, was that faith, no matter what you go through, faith in Christ is the key. So, just to tie a little personal story into it, I can relate to what David's going through. For 2 years, me and my wife have been struggling in this area of our life. I work night shift for the last 2 years, and I have some friends here that are from work, and they understand my pain. I don't want to work night shift. Who wants to work night shift, man? Come on. But it takes a toll on me. Like, it's hard to work night shifts, and if you can relate, I'm sorry. But I know that God in some way has a purpose for it, right? Not to brag about myself, but I've been able to share the gospel. I've been able to make real good friends and connections, right? So in the midst of suffering, God can use it for his glory, right? I don't want to work night shift. I want to jump right into ministry. And I've been able to come to a place of where, like, you are in ministry, Richie. God has told me you are in ministry. You're serving the church, right? You're growing relationships with students and adults. Ministry, all it is that you have a personal relationship with Christ, and you're going out into the world and defending him, preaching his word, speaking truth and love. But I reflect on these verses and these words of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces your character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then he goes to say in chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul is speaking on a future life with the physical Jesus. He's saying, no matter what you go through, no matter what season you are in, I will rejoice, because the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of the cross, the promise of God's love has sealed you, right? We say in church that the blood and breaking of his body, you are forgiven by that. So if it's your first time here at Hallmark or at church, or maybe you are in a season of doubt, let me encourage you with the gospel and how it connects to the psalm. Psalm 13, David is crying out to the Lord, right? And then he's praising the Lord. But notice how when Jesus was on the cross, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now this verse has been taken out of context, and I want to carefully explain to you what this means. Jesus identifies with your pain, and he felt the emotion of being separated from his Father. He was never separated from God the Father, because we believe here at Hallmark, we believe the Christian faith is God is a triune God, the Holy Trinity, if you want to say. We believe that the God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the same true living God and the only God, right? But Jesus, as Philippians 2 says, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, this is my favorite passage in all of Scripture. It says, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That right there proves that God cares about what you're going through, because God himself came down in human form. This is who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh, and he came down. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He didn't deserve the death that he experienced. When you look at the cross, when you see a cross at the street, imagine God himself on that cross. That is who Jesus is. Jesus loves you so much that he went to the cross for you, and he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that for you. That is God. God cares about the way you feel. See, David is calling out to God. David is feeling that separation from God. Jesus felt the same thing. But the reality is, Jesus was never separated from God. I don't want you to think that, because they are one. We believe in one God and three persons. Beautiful. Beautiful how God works. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, the gospel is you are a sinner. Yes, you have been created in the image of God, but you also have a free will. You have the choice of how you want to live. Because God is a loving God, I believe that God intervenes in your life, but he can never force you to do anything because it is a personal choice. Because how could I force my wife to love me? That would not be true love. So how can God force you? If you won't accept the gospel, if you won't accept the truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, if that's not enough for you, I'm sorry, there's nothing else. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a guy that's supposed to know everything. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you're here this morning and you do not know our Lord and Savior in a personal way, I want to tell you that the Bible is the truth. And as you dive into the scripture, you'll realize that it is the truth. Because God, the Bible, is a living book. It speaks to us. It relates to us. So, I encourage you this morning, surrender your life to Christ. We do not know when God will come back. God promises that he's going to come back, and he's going to take back this world. And he's going to reign forever. So, church, have you placed your faith in Christ? Let me tell you, it's this simple. It's simple as a prayer. All you do, if you want to accept Christ this morning, all you do is you say, God, I don't understand everything. It just doesn't make sense. But I want to surrender my life to you because I trust you, just like David is saying. He's in the midst of suffering, but he's trusting the Lord. That's all you have to do. Is say, God, I believe that you love me so much that you sent your one and only son. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's not a fear tactic. I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm trying to give you the truth. That God, scripture says that God is love. So much that he sent his one and only son. So that is the truth. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But it's not about getting to heaven. What it's about is a genuine relationship, an honest, truthful relationship with Christ. See, what Jesus did, his payment on the cross, what he did is he has now restored you with a relationship with God the Father. You are now restored. You are now forgiven. If you accept Christ this morning, everything that you're going through, everything that you've done in the past is literally erased. And now the Bible says that you are a new creation. You are Jesus's now. And let me tell you, that's the best decision you will ever make in your life. Follow Jesus because he loves you. He cares about what you're going through like we see in this psalm. But more importantly, he wants to be with you today, not just in heaven, but today. And that is what the Holy Spirit is. The promise of Jesus when he left this earth, he told his disciples, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you, and I'll be with you forever through my Spirit. So as the band comes up, I don't know exactly what you're going through, what kind of suffering, or maybe you're in a season of joy. If you would like to come up to the altar or just sit where you're at and surrender your life to Christ, or just surrender whatever suffering you're going through, place that suffering, place that pain in the feet of Jesus, because I promise you, Jesus can handle it. Because if Jesus raised from the dead 3 days later after he died on that cross, he can handle your pain. Because he raised from the dead, man. That's so cool. The hope and security that we have in Christ. So let me pray for you guys. And I love you. If you want to talk, come talk to me or find any other staff members here or other members, please feel open to. God our Father, we pray to you on this beautiful morning that you have given us. I want to thank you, God, so much for all of the people that you've brought here at your house this morning, God. I want to just personally thank you, God, for all the family and friends and support that I have here at Hallmark. But God, I know that there are people here that are going through similar issues and pain and suffering that David is expressing in this psalm. And God, we just want to surrender that suffering and pain and issues and whatever it may be, we want to surrender it all to you God, we want to say that we love you. We want to say that we want to thank you for how you sent your son Jesus to save us, to give us new life in him. Father, that's who you are. That's how much you love us. And I'm so thankful for that's who you are. God, just pray that whoever is going through suffering and hard times this morning, I just pray, God, that you will comfort them, that you will give them your truth, that you will pierce their heart through your Holy Spirit, and that you would just help them understand that you are there. Even though it might not make sense, or they might be confused or might not understand, God, help them to feel your presence and understand who you really are. And that is a God who loves us and cares for us. It's in your precious and beautiful Son's name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.